So somebody was going to sing the Magic Roundabout. What's going on?
I was going to, well, I just tried, but you didn't like it, so I'm not going to bother.
nobody knows what the Magic Roundabout is anymore. I mean, I think Magic Roundabout had stopped being on the TV just like in the 80s, because it wasn't in the 90s. I remember just a little glimpses of it, but I couldn't tell you the theme tune, so that might tell you when it's from. Is it a 70s show?
I was raised on it. There was Dylan, the stoned rabbit, and there was Dougal, who was a big shaggy Hulk. Dog who used to kind of shuffle about like this. It was very educational, I have to say.
Cool.
But more importantly, we have Dr. Rob Silver, who Rob, here's a joke. What's the closest thing to silver?
I'm sorry, you got me stumped on that one.
Come on.
The Lone Ranger's backside.
Good one. Good one.
You can tell he's a father who's missed his wife over the weekend.
I used to love that joke. I thought it was cleaned up slightly.
Oh, okay.
The horse's butt would be closer to him than the guy's actual butt. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
If you think about it, let's get into it, guys. Anyway. this is Raw Pet Medics. I am here with the two and now three best vets in the world. And tonight we are going to be talking about mushrooms. Before we do, you will find us on patreon.com/rawpetmedics. So if you can support us there, we deeply appreciate it. It helps us bring on these big money guests like Rob Silver. It does not come cheap, let me tell you. And those that can, great. And those that can't, not to worry. We're going to be here anyway. Listen, I suppose we just want to get straight into it. There's no idle chit-chat we need to get through, guys. There's nothing burning on your chest that you need to know.
There are so many questions. Thank you to everybody who added questions to our posts on tonight. I think, I've got so many things to go through, but let's crack on. I just think it's really great if we could, first of all, Dr. Rob, if that's how you'd prefer to be referred
That's better than,
is that okay?
But better than some other epithets I've been called. Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Well, some of them over here start going, no, surnames only. And I'd prefer to say, no, first names is much more friendly.
It is.
So, Dr. Rob, just for the guys out there to understand, give us a little bit of background. What really brought you into your position now with all of the holistic, traditional Chinese medicine, everything else? How did you get here?
Okay.
What was your start point and what got you to this point?
Good question. It's a bit of a lengthy answer. But when I graduated vet school in 1982, in Colorado, I thought that I had been taught all the tools I needed to know to do battle with the diseases of the world. And, after a couple of years in practice, I found that, the stuff I'd learned was pretty good for some things, mostly acute problems. But when you get to the chronic things, diabetes, cancer, and Cushing's, and, epilepsy, that the conventional approaches really were not adequate. So I started looking for things to augment the conventional approaches. And over a period of 30 to 40 years in practice, I've developed, expertise with the use of alternative therapies blended with conventional therapies and what we kind of call integrative medicine. I became an herbalist, still am. And then so when cannabis started to get a little more legal here in the U.S., it really got my interest, in part because I'm a product of the 60s and very fond of cannabis, but also because I really didn't know all the scientific details about how cannabis works in an incredible way, in all bodies. So then from cannabis, there were not very many mushroom compounds available in products that were easy to use for veterinarians until relatively recently, like the last 8 or 10 years, really. So what I was stuck with in terms of using mushrooms, because I would use them for my cancer patients and other types of immune modification, is I would get the dried mushrooms from, the dried mushrooms, and I would decoct them in hot water and then use that as my medicine for my patients. So when mushroom products became more available, and I'm speaking specifically about Real Mushrooms, that was founded 8 years ago, that have their mushroom extracts are all standardized and under USDA organic standards, that was when I felt that I had the ability to be able to educate the public and educate myself about all of these amazing new products that are available with all of these different mushrooms. I mean, with cannabis, it was just one plant, you know, and I thought that plant was like a huge polypharmacy with everything that was in it, you know, and then I started looking at mushrooms, and each mushroom is a cannabis in and of itself in terms of the complexity of all the ingredients. And yet at the same time, there's a real parallel between cannabis and mushrooms in terms of the categories of ingredients that they have. You know, cannabis has cannabinoids. Mushrooms have beta-glucans. Both have terpenes. Both have flavonoids. Both have phenolic compounds. Both have, you know, so there's a lot of promiscuity of these ingredients with all of these membrane receptors in the body, which is why we see such robust activity, both for cannabis and for mushrooms. That's my story.
That's cool. I love it. I love it. And you were saying before we came on, Rob, you just made a casual note that we share 30% of our DNA. I mean, what is it that you know? I think first of all, like, there's a little bit of a mushrooms used to be an extremely important thing. We have a lot of Eastern Europeans over here in Ireland, and Eastern Europeans are foraging and picking mushrooms and whatnot, and it's seen as a, you know, when the berries come out, the right berries, they're out picking them, and we're not. It's seen as a little bit, kind of, it's just not done anymore over here. There's a little bit of a kickback from just not picking mushrooms for medicines. Don't do that. You don't know what you're doing. How do you, like, is there a barrier? Would you recommend that people get into this, like, from a learning point of view of how they might pick one or two mushrooms themselves? Or is it that, like, you know, there's a hurdle when you talk to people about mushrooms, is what I'm trying to say. They don't seem to pick up what you're putting down. When you're trying to say that all these incredible plants, they're very nervous of them. There's a fear there that kind of we're used to in raw dog food world. What is that? Where did that come from?
You know, that's a lot of questions I'll try to unpack here.
Yeah, sorry.
No, it's okay. But first of all, we recognize that there are mycophiles and mycophobes. And a lot of it has to do with the culture that you're looking at. Eastern European culture, Asian culture, very much mycophile. And they have the experience of hundreds, if not thousands of years of being able to identify wild mushrooms accurately in the wild. But we still see a lot of ER admissions in Asia and in Eastern Europe for people that are foraging and make that mistake. Okay.
So
I think that, you know, there is also a mistake in terms of feeling that just because there's a potential for toxicity with foraging, that mushrooms, which are intentionally grown, that we know what the species is, and they're grown properly on the proper substrate with everything else, those are two entirely different things. Wild mushrooms that you forage, yes, you can forage them accurately if you know what the hell you're doing, but most people don't. You know, now we have companies that start with the spores, they've got, you know, DNA identity, and then they grow them under special circumstances that enhance the activity of it. And then they process it using hot water, because the cell wall of the fungus, the mushroom, is so fibrously durable. It's got beta-glucans and chitin in them. You know chitin from the hard exoskeleton of lobsters and crabs. So the mushrooms need to be broken. The cell wall needs to be broken down. We can use the beta-glucans, and we can use the chitin, but we can also use the terpenes and all the flavonoids and everything else that's in there once we disrupt that cell membrane. So in order to really get the best value from a mushroom, even a fresh mushroom, you need to cook it quite a bit, at least 15 minutes, more likely closer to an hour or two, which is why cooking mushrooms or putting mushrooms into stews or soups is really the ideal place for them in terms of being able to create more bioavailability, both of nutrients and of the medicinal compounds. When I cook with mushrooms, which is like every day, I generally chop them pretty fine, especially if I'm putting them in a soup or something, which allows them to be cooked through and through very thoroughly, which also helps to disrupt that cell wall. in industrial commercial operations where they're doing this kind of processing, they generally keep it at about 90 degrees centigrade, almost boiling, for 2 hours. And that's what they need to get the optimal extraction of that. So did that, there were a lot of questions there.
Absolutely.
Did that help?
Yeah, no, that's it. And it's there's a lack of knowledge. Oh. You know, there's a huge lack of knowledge, mm-hmm. and there's nobody teaching it to you. It's hard to find the guy that's doing the foraging course. Oh, yeah. You know, I was lucky to bump. Yeah. And he was mobbed. There wasn't any places. I had to wait a year before he'd bring 30 of us into the woods. It just seems so niche. It seems like it's still, you know, guys in a gloomy tent in a carnival and they're talking to you about mushrooms, you know?
I guess it depends where you are. You know, here in the U.S., every state seems to have a local state mycological society. Maybe you've got, I'm sure you've got something like that in the U.K.
Yeah, sure we do.
And oftentimes with these mycological societies, they have programs weekly or monthly. And then they also organize these events, these foraging events. So I'm sure there's more than just that one guy around to do that. But it does take someone with a lot of experience. I'm still a novice in terms of learning identification. There's some apps on the phone, in fact, that you could use that are pretty good that can really kind of help you narrow down what the category of mushroom is based on the gill structure and the shape and the top of the, you know, and the top of it, those sorts of things. When we're talking about using mushrooms for health, which I think is what the topic is today, I think that in general, you're better off buying mushrooms already identified and you know what they are, so we don't have that problem. If you're buying fresh mushrooms, even the common white button mushrooms, and I was at a mushroom conference 2 weeks ago, and there was a guy, a researcher from a cancer center, that found that white button mushrooms contain aromatase inhibitors. And this is why they're starting to use, even recommending white button mushrooms for prostate cancer, you know, and also for breast cancer because of the aromatase inhibitors as food, as medicine. Because I know that's something that that's a topic that we're really into, is that. Now, but the button mushrooms still have to be cooked in order for you to.
Amazing.
Isn't that something?
Rob, that's amazing. Just common a garden button mushrooms that you can just buy in the supermarket are maybe indicated in prostate cancer. Unbelievable. Where can people get references? So websites, podcasts, webinars, but also books that you might recommend just from an education perspective?
Well, there aren't a lot of great books out there right now.
Uh-huh.
There is one that I think is really the Bible from the human standpoint, which is written by an acupuncturist named Christopher Hobbs. And it's called Christopher Hobbs's Medicinal Mushroom. It's published by Story Publications, Storey. And it should be available widely through Amazon and other sources. It's a great book. The color, the illustrations, everything in it. And Hobbs, you know, this is his second book. His first book he wrote in the mid-1980s. So the guy is one of our experts in that area, and I count myself fortunate to kind of know him in a collegial fashion. I'm just finishing my own book, which I'm entitled "There's a Mushroom for That," and in it I tell 8 stories about pets and their problems and how I solve them. But in the book I cover 8 different pet problems and tell the stories of how I solved them or tried to solve them. You know, not everything's 100% successful in our world. And how I solve them both with conventional medicine and integrative medicine, mushrooms, cannabis, herbs, you know, the whole shoot and match. And I'm hoping, I'm self-publishing it. It's a struggle. I'm hoping to get this out by May or June, pretty soon of this year. I am hopeful, but we shall see.
That's fantastic. What about websites or just places people can go for courses, online courses?
Well, there's a couple of places. The company that I work with, that I'm chief veterinary officer for, Real Mushrooms, it's a Canadian company, although they're global now, and I believe they've just opened up their website on Amazon UK, in fact, so their product should be available there, or if not yet, soon. They have an amazing website, and for customers, you know, for people, pet owners and people in general, there's a lot of good information there. But for veterinarians, you guys can sign up for a practitioner's account. and you can as well, Connor. And sorry, I don't mean sound exclusive here. You know, it's
He just wants to know, is there psilocybin in there? It's like...
Yeah. I'll find it.
But anyway, the practitioner's portal on the Real Mushrooms website has a ton of stuff. And I am writing, every week I'm writing in informational blogs, and I don't know if you know Lee Carroll. Lee Carroll is a medical herbalist. He used to be with MediHerb, with Standard Process. He's Australian. And we now have him on board. We've got Lee Carroll and myself, and then a Canadian naturopath named Mason Brissett. And so we've got quite the professional team, quite the practitioner's team to write educational materials. We have monthly round tables. We have monthly fungi forums. Last month, we talked about, we kind of introduced ourselves. This month, this is Women's Health Month. And so we're doing a piece on women's health. I interrupted Brendan. He was doing something on estrogens, which I assume is probably also current with the Women's Health Month as well.
No man talks more about women's health than Bren. that is a serious hot topic for Bren. Yeah.
Well, you know, you've got to take care of the better halves in our lives sometimes, and that's actually, I just love the relevance of looking at all of the work which is being put in to women's health and hormones and hormone metabolism and all of the menopause and perimenopause stuff that's going on, being able to translate that and actually also reflect that to some owners for what's happening with their dogs, you know, if they've been surgically put into menopause, you know. So all of this, there's so much work to go there. But it's not about me tonight. It's not about my desires and loves and things. I think, Dr. Silver, let's get back to, you know, a great product.
So
how did you, just bring me up to speed, what merged you into Real Mushrooms? What was it about that company and how, you know, you wanted to, what's the ethos behind that? What's the real nitty gritty that brought you from doing day-to-day practical stuff with patients and drew you into, you know, wanting to promote a great company?
Well, first of all, let me finish the last question. So if you do sign up for the practitioners, you have all that accessible to you. We have these live roundtables. Lee Carroll himself is doing an online educational course at a high professional level on mushrooms, and so you might want to take a look at that as well. And I can give you links to that later if your listeners also are important. Are interested in that.
Yeah.
Okay. So the second question was, you know, what really brought me to Real Mushrooms? And for 25 years, well, other than being in practice for 35 years or so, I, for like the last 15 years of my practice, the last 25 years of my practice, I was working for a company called RX Vitamins. It's a US company that introduced nutraceuticals to veterinarians 30 years ago. And I helped them build their products, all 40 products I formulated. Well, they were very successful. And during the pandemic, they sold to a large multinational, Swedencare. As happens with these mergers and acquisitions, I was the high earner. They let me go, or they offered me something that was low ball and I couldn't take it. So, and I know that mushrooms are on the rise, you know, in terms of the public's interest. And they're certainly on the rise in my own interest. And I had worked with the parent company to Real Mushrooms to develop a mushroom product for RX Vitamins. So I knew the quality of the company, the quality of the products. And so I just, and I knew the owner, the Real Mushrooms is owned by the two sons, and the parent company is the father's company. So I knew the father, and I called him up after I lost that job and said, hey, you guys think you might want to get a pet product line going with your mushroom company? And he goes, well, we were talking about it. Yeah, one. So that's kind of how it all started.
Perfect.
And, you know, honestly, I didn't really know that Real Mushrooms was quite as amazingly large a company as it is, you know, one of the top global, you know, mushroom companies, really. And so it's great to be a part of this company with these many resources and with so many people who are dedicated to teaching and learning and understanding and creating, you know, really high quality products.
Love it. Rob, I remember Habib, you know, Rodney Habib is a fan, and I'm sure you've been on their show. And he shared a lovely study there recently about dogs with an aggressive form of cancer, and they lived an extra year longer. Hemangiosarcoma, was it? When they were taking a medicinal mushroom mix. And I thought, that is a staggering result for mushrooms. What is your favorite study? What's your go-to study when you're talking to vets begging for evidence and papers and research? Is there any good studies out there on dogs? Is there people doing a bit of research on dogs?
There is very few studies, you know, other than, you know, looking at, and generally, you know, studies are expensive. And so generally, we're also going to find companies that have ingredients or products that they want to validate so they can sell it, paying the money to fund these studies. So in a way, studies are kind of narrow-minded. I mean, they're not bad. Single compound and single problem you're looking at, and not really, you know, there really isn't a good scientific method to really objectively determine all the little details that we do, you know, with our integrative work. But I would say, and there's two studies on hemangiosarcoma with turkey tail, and Rodney only spoke to the first study. The second study, 10 years later, the first study only had 5 dogs and 3 study groups. The second study, 10 years later, had 100 dogs. They had a placebo. They had 25 dogs that received a placebo, 25 dogs that received chemotherapy and the turkey tail extract, and they had 50 dogs with the turkey tail extract as well. And what they found was the results were not as good as that pilot study because they had a larger population, and the original pilot study wasn't really skewed to tease out gender differences, speaking about Brendan's interest in women's health and, you know, the whole estrogen thing. You know, they found that female dogs had substantially poorer survival times than male dogs simply because of their gender. And then in terms of the stage that they are first diagnosed at, that also was a prognostic factor. But the most important prognostic factor from this study was that dogs that are diagnosed with hematocrit higher than 30% have a much better chance of survival and longer survival than dogs with less than a 30% hematocrit. So I thought it was a good study. It maybe didn't validate that the turkey tail was as great as everybody thought it was, but I thought what it did was it provided us with a lot of details that we as veterinarians, or we as health consultants to pet parents, can advise them, you know, because who wants to do a surgery on a dog that might only live 2 months, you know? So having those statistics and being able to figure out, is it male? What stage is it? What's the hematocrit? Would give you a better handle on how to advise, you know, your client on what's the best thing for their dog. You know, so it was a good study. These were good studies. There also were studies with maitake defraction. Now, maitake defraction is a proprietary liquid formula of the maitake mushroom. And the maitake mushroom has been known to be very potent as an anti-cancer mushroom because the beta glucans, which are polymers of sugar, have more cross branches coming off of them than any other beta glucan for any other mushroom. And that conveys a very strong immunogenicity to the beta glucans. And then it's the beta glucans that fire up our immune system to take care of that cancer. They don't actually do it themselves. You know, they work through intermediaries, through our effector cells. The immune system.
Fabulous.
So
that's cool.
Rob, so when it comes to, I'll go in just because we've got a real interest in that.
Yes.
Because I see so many cancer cases and constantly, you know, in recent years, everything's come away from just turkey tail to massive combinations from 7 shrooms to, you know, when you've sort of gone through this, what sort of combinations are you now looking at with real mushrooms? If somebody's going, look, I really want to have a combination that's going to help my dog's immune system in face of cancer, what are you doing at the moment to combine?
And you know, what's interesting, Brandon, is that, and there's a study, I've got at least one study that supports this, that mushrooms, when used together, have more of a synergy and have more potency than used singly. So there is definitely some science behind the use of multiple mushrooms at the same time. So that's actually what I'm currently working on with real mushrooms, is developing a variety of different blended mushrooms that are combined with nutraceuticals and nutritional compounds to produce a given effect on a given system. But there is already a proprietary product for real mushrooms that includes five of the most potent immune-modulating anti-cancer mushrooms out there. It has reishi in there, the Ganoderma lucidum is the botanical name. It's got the turkey tail, the Trimedes versicolor. It's got the shiitake, the Lentinula edodes. It's got the maitake, which is Grifola frondosa. And then it has a chaga, which is Inotus oblicus. And so those five, it's the single most popular product. We get huge positive feedback from our human customers and from our pet parents. We have that in a bulk powder format, and it's all organic, the bulk powder format. We have that in larger sized capsules. We have that in smaller sized capsules and bottles that are labeled for pet dosages. We also have those in soft chews, and the soft chews are also labeled for pet dosages. Plus, they have ashwagandha, astragalus, a blueberry powder, and olive leaf extract in it for that particular blend. That was my own flavoring of it with that stuff. And they're that's, but you know, there are many other great mushrooms that one could combine, you know, and we're seeing a lot of interest in lion's mane, for instance, because of its benefit with cognition and with memory and with stress. And there's other mushrooms which have similar effects, like reishi, for instance. Reishi has been used for centuries by Zen masters as a meditation aid because it's very settling. You know, if you know Chinese medicine, the heart, which is not just pump the blood, the heart also houses the mind in Chinese medicine. And so it also, when you have anxiety, the Chinese think of it as the heart. Well, reishi works directly on the heart in that regard. So lion's mane and reishi are a good combination when we're looking at more of a mentation, more of a cognitive, more of a neurologic type of approach. But I'd probably add a third mushroom to that, a new mushroom that most people haven't heard about called Tremella, which is also known as the snow fungus. And Tremella is kind of a gooey fungus, and it has a very specialized polysaccharide that's very similar in its hydrating function to hyaluronic acid, although it's not a glycoprotein, it's just a polysaccharide.
Well,
wow.
That was my question. I was going to say,
can I answer it?
But yeah, you did. Without even having the question, we're obviously linked here in
that's before the mushroom
astral on astral planes, which is lovely to know.
Rob, look, in the last 5 minutes, what's the next thing? I mean, you are obviously going to pursue different health issues. Is it your dream to have mushrooms for different health issues, compounds for different health issues? What's the next 5 years?
Well, this is what I'm currently doing with real mushrooms, is creating mushroom products for specific conditions, you know, or specific species. So, and we're trying to get some research studies done, maybe not, you know, publishable big peer review studies, but at least pilot projects that give us some, you know, proof of concept, you know, and maybe some dosing information. So like I say, I'm working with the horses with this PPID. I'd like to get together some kitty cats and some dogs for kidney disease and whatnot, and Cushing's disease. So yeah, so I'm coming out with things, a variety of different products, you know, and at the moment, I'm not really supposed to be revealing what those are. We just came out with a new one called the Daily Dog, which is meant to be an all-in-one daily topper. And it's got maybe 13 different ingredients, and it's got some very unique ingredients, 7 different mushrooms. It has the 5 defenders in it, but I also put cordyceps and lion's mane in it, which are not in the 5 defenders. So in many ways, it's got the 7 defenders. I've got extracts of seaweed, something called a Marinova, which is a very unique polysaccharide derived from seaweed. I've got Saccharomyces boulardii and a variety of really good ingredients that would be good to help keep a dog healthy with a daily topper in that regard to support the microbiome. And soon we will probably be having something like that for cats as well. That'll be more focused on cats, higher levels of cordyceps, that sort of thing.
Do those products cross borders? Can people from the UK that are listening order this from Real Mushrooms?
So here's the deal. And I reached out today and I didn't get a direct answer, but we do have now, I do believe our Amazon UK is open and available. Whether we have those pet products right now on that inventory, I'm not sure, but I can tell you that we will. They will be there. So that'll make it very easy, you know, for the folks in your regional area to order because, you know, place your order and you get it. So there, and there's good products. Yeah. I mean, the pouches are really the best if the animal, if it's palatable to the animal, the most cost effective. You know, you can just kind of go in and scoop it. I've developed some dosing algorithms based on weight and based on the severity of the condition. I think you should be able to find
that. And so with those dog dailies, is there a sort of starting point? Some people have asked, you know, is it safe to start young with these mushrooms?
Yes, of course.
Should they really be sort of holding off till their seniors?
Mushrooms are a superfood. They're food. There's no problems with any of the mushrooms that would be available commercially, say through Real Mushrooms. I can't speak about other companies, but there's a study that came out of Eastern Europe, came out of Hungary. And in it, they were using the beta-glucan extract of oyster mushroom to improve the duration of immunity derived from rabies vaccinations. They found that these shelter dogs were immune-suppressed and were unable to get any sort of a protective titer with rabies vaccination until they preconditioned them for a month with beta-glucans. They used oyster mushroom beta-glucans, but really any beta-glucan is going to prime the immune system. So when, and they're good companions for vaccination because they reduce side effects, they improve the efficacy of it, and you may not even need to keep reboostering it because you get such a durable duration of immunity. So no, I think you can start at any age with them. I started my black lab at 6 weeks of age on black reishi and black beets.
And you're going to be giving those interventions week after week, month after month, year after year, you're comfortable with
mushrooms that? Mushrooms are best when they're taken every day for a long period of time. Now, there's a new concept with immunity called trained immunity. I don't know if you've heard that, but apparently the beta-glucans in mushrooms can go to the stem cells in the bone marrow and can invest in them through epigenetics, some sort of memory. Even though we're talking about the innate immune system, beta-glucans can train the innate immune system to have a limited sort of memory, not as long as with the acquired immune system. We want to use it for a long period of time. Now, you can take a break. For myself, I take my supplements 5 days a week. I take the weekend off. You know, why not? You know, leave more room for beer.
Yeah, totally. Can I have one more question before, 1 minute? Your cannabis for dogs.
Yes.
How do you feel about the fact they've taken THC out of the product?
I think that's a very good thing, personally, although I know there's people that will disagree with me. The reason why I think that it's good not to start dogs on THC, but to use the THC separately, to titrate it in a very safe manner, is that of all the animals out there in the world, the dog has the highest concentration of THC receptors in its cerebellum and hindbrain. And for that reason, we tend to see a high rate of side effects when we use THC in dogs. And so I think for people who are generally wanting to use CBD, they want something safe and effective for their dog's arthritis, their dog's anxiety. Those are probably the two highest callings for it. You know, they reach for a product that has THC in it. Maybe it's not labeled right. Maybe it's a large dog and they're giving a lot of CBD, which means they're going to give a lot of THC as well. And the dog winds up getting a little loopy. It has some kind of a reaction to it. If you're a manufacturer of that CBD product, you're going to have to deal with a lot of customer support pushback. So I have my own brand of CBD product, and mine is broad spectrum. I keep the THC out of there. I think THC is very good and can be used for a lot of things, but it's dangerous to use it in a dog without veterinary supervision. That's my opinion, and I'm going to stick to it. Because you have to start at a super, super low dosage and allow the dog to develop tolerance before you can escalate the dosage to more therapeutic levels. So that's my take on THC.
That's amazing. Colin, you said you had to go about an hour.
I'm dashing.
Is that?
I've got to go. Yeah, you guys are going to go to the bit on the side with
we are.
And extract a bit more information. Is there any way, Rob, you'll be able to tell people, you know, this mushroom grows everywhere in Ireland. It's stuck to the rocks. It's stuck to the logs of everywhere in the woods. And I believe Japanese people, this is like turkey tail.
Yeah, it looks like turkey tail.
I think so, anyway.
Choked up bracket mushroom. You can start fires with it, but it's useless as medicine.
But I heard that it's like a delicacy over in Japan. It's hard to move mushrooms from A to B, like not a delicacy, but they're of high value in Japan. Like, because I don't know if this is true or not, because I should have Googled this before I came on. Now it looks stupid. But like these sort of mushrooms are highly anti-cancerous, I believe. And over in Japan, I heard, they don't grow this exact species. So apparently they'd pay a lot of money for this mushroom, but getting it over to Japan and keeping the good bits intact is nigh impossible. They said it's the same as a truffle. When you get truffle in a restaurant, the chances of it being actual truffle is tiny, because truffle only has this 48-hour window. That smell off a truffle, it actually leaves the truffle. So when you dig it out of the ground, the smell of the truffle starts leaving. I wonder, is that the same as the medicinal compounds in turkey tail, or have I just totally confused a lot of different stories?
Well, again, you ask a very complicated question. But let me interject. Did you know that smell that you get from truffles, do you know what that is? That is anandamide. No. You know what anandamide is? Anandamide is our body's own THC. When we take THC, it binds to the receptors that are meant to be for anandamide. But it's much milder than THC, so it just gives us a sense of runner's high or euphoria as compared to what THC does, which is, you know, depending where you're at, you know, could be a lot stronger. So I'm not quite sure. I'd need more information, Connor, about the Japanese thing and the mushrooms you're talking about. I can answer it, but it's the information you're giving me is not.
Well, we've got so much to talk on the bit on the side. For those of you who want to join us on the patreon.com/rawpoetmedic, we're going to talk a little bit about extraction, you know, actually how to activate those mushrooms so that they are not just, you know, eating raw stuff, but actually eating medicines.
Right.
So let's do that over a bit on the side. Great. Thank you so much for this live. There are so many requests for you to come back.
Definitely.
Because there's so much there. Definitely. There are some great books. If you go to realmushrooms.com, if you're in the States, you've got 20% off at the moment. You've got a functional medicine, functional mushrooms book for pets, I think, as well.
Yes, I wrote that one.
Yeah, so there's loads of stuff if you want to go. We're going to maybe quiz you over a bit on the side about how to become suppliers of your products, because it sounds like so many people in the UK want them too. So let's talk about that over on the other side. Let's let Connor get off and sort out the kids before he gets into trouble. And great to see you all. See you all next week, guys. Really looking forward to it. Thank you.
Pleasure being here. Yeah.
Nice to meet you.
Bye-bye.